I'll be reading Matthew chapter 21, verse 12 through 13. And Jesus entered the temple of God and drove out all who sold and bought in the temple, and he overturned the tables of the money changers and the seats of those who sold pigeons. He said to them, "It is written, my house shall be a house of prayer, but you make it a den of robbers."
Good morning. Turn with me, please, to Psalms 118, verse number 24. Psalms 118, verse 24 says, "This is the day which the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it."
Amen.
I'm so thankful that our God watches over us so much, that He's there for us, that He's concerned with us, that He knows what's going on in our lives. Because, you know, from time to time, this old world is pretty difficult. We have our struggles and we have things that bother us and get to us, and just to know that God is there, that He's listening to our hearts, He's watching over our lives, is a great satisfaction in my heart. I think about this man that went out fishing. He went out fishing and the boat tipped over and the man was drowning, and he couldn't help himself, and he cried out to God and he said, "God, I haven't bothered you in 15 years, but if you would save me here," he said, "I won't bother you for another 15 years." You should know that we are of no bother to God. And sometimes I think Satan wants us to believe that in some ways that we bother God somehow, that He doesn't have time for us. But we read, as Q-Ray read our verse all ago, "My house shall be called a house of prayer." Is that what we're known for? Are we known to be a praying people? I think so. I think one thing this church does well is we get together and we pray, and we're always praying for each other. And you know what? I know God is pleased with that, but I got to tell you, I know that you pray for me on a continual basis, and that encourages my heart. And it should encourage your heart that we're praying for each other. Tonight, we're going to have a prayer meeting. That's what we're going to do tonight. Now, you can choose to come or not to come. You can prioritize your life and say, you know, that's important or that's not important. But church, we have some hurts right now. We have things going on in our lives. We have some brothers and sisters that have cancer. We have family issues. We need to stop and have a little prayer. Tonight, come and be prepared to pray with us as we talk to our God, knowing that He hears our prayers. The world doesn't think much of praying. You seen the show Steel Magnolias? This is where all the women raise their hand. It's a chick flick, I admit it. It's a girl show. Steel Magnolias. There's a girl on there called Nell. And Nell, she marries this young guy, and she is a very godly person, praying all the time, and it just drives her husband crazy. He mocks her and makes fun of her and gives her grief and hard time. You know, the world doesn't understand prayer because the world doesn't understand God. The only understanding that we have of the Father is what's given to us in His Word. And as we read His Word, we draw closer to Him, and that's what He wants from us. God gives us some direction concerning prayer. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 6, God tells us to pray to Him about everything. So all the things that's in our heart we're to bring before God. Ephesians 6:18 tells us to pray on all occasions. Sometimes are we tempted to think that, that God doesn't need to hear every little part of our lives, that we might be bothering Him a little bit by bringing such minute details. Yet He tells us no. He says, bring it all to Me. That's what I want from you. 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 17 tells us to pray continually without ceasing. Well, that'd be hard to drive down the road praying, right? Because you got your eyes closed. That's a scriptural way to pray, isn't it? That was a joke in case you missed it. We can live a life of prayer where everything we do is in connection with the Father. And that's what He wants from us. He wants us to be like the persistent widow in Luke chapter 18, verses 1 through 5. Someone who is not willing to let it go. If I've got a problem and I've got a difficulty, I'm going to take that before God every minute of every day, every morning, and I'm not going to let that go. I'm going to be faithful to continual asking of God concerning my needs. And prayer also includes, from Colossians chapter 4 and verse 2, the idea of devotion. Church, I think one thing that's interesting is God already knows what's going on in our life. We're not going to pray and inform God of anything. Prayer has something to do with us and the acknowledgement of who and what we are and what's going on in our lives before God, because He already knows. But He wants us to verbalize this. He wants us to put this to thought. And this all boils down, I think, in essence, to a devotion to God. A Christian who fans the flames of devotion in their heart is a Christian that will be successful in helping other people get to heaven. And that's what God has called us to be about. So my idea is this, that we not forget that we are a house of prayer. When we pray, there are several things that happen. And I kind of want to march through those things today in a reminder. First of all, we approach the throne of God. And I got to tell you, that's just exciting. We get to go into the very throne room of God. If you turn over to Revelation chapter 4, you can read about a pictorial thought there of what it's like to be around the throne of God, how majestic and how wonderful that is. And when we look at Hebrews chapter 4, verse 14 and 16, and I'll let you just turn there with me, Hebrews 4, verse 14 and through 16, just a wonderful thought that kicks off my mind about the necessity of prayer, the value of prayer. It says, therefore, since we have a great high priest, this is talking about Jesus, who has passed through the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession, for we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weakness, but one who has been tempted in all ways as we are, yet without sin. And in verse 16, he says, Therefore, let us draw near with confidence to the throne of grace, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Boy, and I tell you what, that's just wonderful. That God allows us to come into His presence and to be gathered around Him. You know, I think about the fact that kings and presidents and real important people, that you gotta, if you're going to go talk to them, you've got to make an appointment. And if you're like me, they probably reject the appointment. If I wanted to go see the president, he probably wouldn't make time for me. I'm not very important. You know what I'm saying? But God is not that way. There is no veil of separation. As there was in the Old Covenant, the curtain that separated the Holy of Holies from the common place in the temple, that curtain has been taken down. It's been torn apart. It has been removed by the blood of Jesus. And now we have, as Christians, the ability to enter into the very throne room of God. Amen. What concerns me is sometimes we don't use what we have. We don't take advantage of what God has given us. Jesus gave all that He had. He gave His lifeblood. And in that song that Travis taught us earlier that was so good, made me think about so much of what Jesus has done for me. He allowed me to come into the presence of God through His blood. He's allowed that for all of us. When we pray, we also acknowledge our dependence on God. You know, this world that we live in, we like to be independent. We even have Independence Day. It's something that we celebrate. We don't need any help. Our nation has a lot of good things about it, but one thing we pride ourselves on is being the nation that we don't need any help. And that funnels down sometimes to us as people. We like to live in such a way that we don't need any help. I can do it by myself. If I can't figure it out, I just don't need it because I'm not going to accept help. You know what? God gave us prayer so that we could acknowledge and never forget a declaration of dependence on God the Father. Jeremiah 10:23 reminds us that it's not within a man to direct his own steps. But it is God that we have to remember to let lead our lives. God made us to be followers of Jesus. Matthew 16:24, we are reminded that we are to deny ourselves, take up our cross and follow Him. That we need His guidance. That we need His leadership in our lives. When I think about following the Lord, I can't help but to think about the Old Testament as Israel came out of Egypt. God led His people with a fiery pillar and by a cloud. Something that you could see, that you could lay your hands on. And you know what? God is there to lead us today. We might not have a fiery tornado outside that we can see, but let me tell you what, if you got your spiritual eyes open, you can see God. Amen? Amen? It's just the question is are you going to follow His leadership? Prayer is a humble submission of ourselves as we get on our knees and surrender our will to His and just tell Him, we have to have You. But what happens when we forget to do that? We can easily slip back into the American way of leading ourselves. Then the faith draws prayer, and prayer is so closely linked to faith. Prayer draws us near to God. Read with me Hebrews 10:19-22. Therefore, brethren, since we have confidence to enter the holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way which He inaugurated for us through the veil, that is, His flesh, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, Hone in here on verse 22. Let us draw near with a sincere heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Prayer draws us near to God. Sharing your heart with someone draws them, you get close to them. You know what I'm talking about? When we tell each other what's going on in our lives, when we spend time with each other, it helps us to draw close to each other in a special way. And the same is true when we approach God, when we talk to Him continually about the things that's going on in our lives, when we listen to His words as He has presented them to us in His Scripture, we draw close unto God. Deuteronomy chapter 4 and verse 7. Makes this wonderful statement, Deuteronomy 4, verse 7. For what great nation is there that has a God so near to it as the Lord our God is whenever we call on Him? You know, in the face of all that was going on in the Old Testament, all these nations who made Asherah poles to worship and worship the god of Molech by making human sacrifices, all this garbage that didn't amount to anything because those gods were nothing. Moses said, look, when God's people pray to Him, He's near to them. Church, we need to know something. When we pray to God, we get close to Him. And by the reverse analogy of the same thought, when we don't pray often to our Maker, there is a wall of separation that begins to build. God hears your voice. God knows your heart. God knows what you need even before you ask. But God wants to hear it from your heart. When we pray, church, we can accomplish great things. What I'm saying is that there's power in prayer. Turn with me to Mark chapter 9. Mark chapter 9. When he came into the house, his disciples began to question him privately, that why couldn't we drive it out? Talking about this demon. The disciples had been sent out on a limited commission here to do some work, and they had met this man that had a demon, and they couldn't get it to come out. They'd been given some powers to do some wonders and signs and miraculous things of nature, but this man with this demon, they had met him, and they couldn't get the demon to come out. So they asked Jesus, what's the hold up here? What's the problem? Why couldn't we get this demon to come out? And here's what Jesus says to them, verse 29. This kind cannot come out by anything but prayer. Well, the hardest of cases was presented there. These guys were struggling. They'd been given the power to do certain things, but they met this one instance where they just couldn't make happen what they wanted to happen. Jesus says, let me tell you what, you're missing an ingredient. There's great power in prayer. And you know what? Sometimes we miss that. James says it this way in James 5 and verse 16, and I can't help it, King James Version's on my mind. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Do we know that? Church, do we believe that? Do you know and are you convinced of the fact that when you talk to your Creator that He's listening and that He will act upon whatever's in His will to help you? Do you know that? Are you convinced of that? Peter and John were arrested in Acts chapter 4. Now, I have never been arrested. That doesn't mean I won't ever be. But will you bail me out if I am? The physical bailing out is not what I need, though. Any bailing out that I'm going to need, in particular, is spiritual in nature, church. Peter and John were in prison, and in Acts chapter 4, verse 31, the church was praying. The church was praying, and something really interesting happened. The place that they were praying began to shake. Because there's power in prayer. Do we know that? Do we believe it? Or do we just send up emails to God? Memos, hoping they'll make it to His desk. Hoping He has time to review them. Tonight, my thought is, let this place be shaken. Because our God hears our prayers. When we pray, church, we are molded in the likeness of Christ, as Paul reminds us in 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 18, to be. Jesus was a man of prayer. He was a man who made time to pray on all occasions. He prayed before He appointed the apostles. He was praying about His decisions. He was making time. He prayed for other souls, Luke chapter 22. But my thought goes to Matthew chapter 26. In the Garden of Gethsemane, in Jesus' hour of greatest need, it was no different than any other time. He was right there before God. But in that time, I can see the true heart of Jesus and just how connected it was to God. There in the Garden of Gethsemane, He's praying, let this cup pass from me. Jesus is talking to the Father about difficulties that's going on in His life, and you know what He's doing? He's placing His trust in the Father. That's what Jesus, as our Savior, showed us that we should be. And He did so fervently that sweat drops as if they were blood fell from His head. Church, when we pray, make no mistake about it, when we pray, we please God. Turn with me to Proverbs chapter 15 and verse 8. Proverbs chapter 15 and verse 8. It says, the sacrifice of the wicked is an abomination to the Lord, but the prayer of the upright is His delight. Do we know that when we're praying to God that He's delighted that we're talking to Him? Now, there's some people in this world I'd rather not talk to, especially if He's a policeman giving me a ticket. I'd just rather not have that discussion. But then there's people in this world that I really want to hear from. When my kids come up and say, "Hey, Dad, have you done this or do you know about this?" I don't even really care what they're talking about, to be honest. But I'm just happy to hear them. You know what I'm saying? God is happy to hear from us. I'm not saying He doesn't care about what we say, but He's happy to hear our voices. Do you know that? Church, we ought to be a people that's convinced that God is sitting there waiting to hear from us. Prayer puts us before the throne of God. Prayer reminds us of our dependence on Him. Prayer moves us closer to Him. Prayer is powerful. Prayer makes us like Christ. And prayer pleases God. If the church is to be a house of prayer, are we individually not the church? Is your life at home, in your private moments, do you make time for God? Or is it just something you schedule for Sunday? Or schedule for Wednesday? Or like the fiddler on the roof, you know, the guy, what's his name, Tiviot. Why don't I want to call him Octaviot? Okay, Tiviot. Everything he does, he's talking to God. It's his open dialogue. Church, I can tell you one thing for certain. In this world, troubles will come. Sometimes daily, sometimes it's weekly. They come, they happen. They're a part of life and the struggle in this world. Lean on God. He's there for you. If you don't lean on God, you will be counted among the numbers who have fallen away from Him. May God be praised in all that we do, and to Him be the glory as we rejoice on this day that He has made. If you have need, would you come as we stand and sing?